Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning.
Good to be back with you on the broadcast. In fact, sorry I was not able to be with you yesterday. Just had some family matters to attend to. As always, I like to start off with something that is motivational, inspiring on some level. I don't know about you, and I'm kind of risking putting Charles and John on the spot. How many of you are sick and tired of hearing about this Mueller report stuff? How many of you? Honestly.
Not there yet.
You're not there yet.
Not yet. It won't. Yeah, I could still take a little more.
Okay. Hey, fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, but the hype of this is just, it's maddening. It really is. Now, I'll just tell you up front. We're going to talk about this during the course of the broadcast today. But this ongoing, and I will tell you another perspective of this that I don't think has been considered. It's not something you're likely to have heard on many broadcasts at all. So that's a tease. Yes, it is. We will get to this a little bit later on. Here's where I want to start. You're well aware, a few weeks ago, of the deadly tornadoes in Alabama. But a social media post has garnered a lot of attention. A lot of attention. As in 96,000 times. Recovery efforts still underway down there in Alabama after that tornado touched down. So much destruction. Buildings, homes, just wiped out. But one person, Jason Smith, who is a chaplain out with Billy Graham's rapid response team, made quite a discovery that he posted on Facebook. One home that was destroyed. There's a couple of very important pieces of information about this home. If you saw the picture, it's mind-boggling. Because the home is gone, completely destroyed. And here are the two pieces of news that are really important. The entire family survived. But there's one other thing that survived at that home. The grandmother's prayer closet. It survived. An EF4 tornado. I think that's absolutely awesome. Jason Smith posted this. Are you kidding me? My God is awesome. Shout somebody, he wrote. And as I mentioned, this post has been shared more than 96,000 times, which I think is absolutely cool. Don't you think that's cool? That's our starting place today. A family survives. And a prayer closet survives. Next item. Our current defense secretary has given the Army Corps of Engineers the green light to build 57 miles of 18-foot-high fencing on the southern border. The construction of roads and lighting in those areas will contribute to the roughly $1 billion price tag for this project. Secretary Shanahan saying the areas will be the focus of this project, drug smuggling corridors near Yuma, Arizona, and El Paso, Texas. These are the areas that have seen a majority of illegal border crossings on the southern border. This is good news to see this advanced. $1 billion. I know it's a very important campaign promise for the president. And it's good to see that there is traction. Some amount of money being spent for this project. Item number three. You've heard me talk about this on this program. I am all for respecting people's cultures. But at the same time, I'm not interested in seeing young children mutilated. I was very glad to see there is a North Carolina Senate bill that has overwhelmingly been passed that would ban female genital mutilation. It has cleared the Senate floor yesterday. The vote was 46-0. That is awesome. This is a profound statement against this practice. The sponsor filed the bill, concerned that we must protect our girls from the abuse of being mutilated and this barbaric procedure. When this issue has been brought up, most people can't believe it's not already illegal to do in North Carolina. Some have asked the question how prevalent this is here in the state. The sponsor saying, we want to make sure it never happens in North Carolina. The bill, if passed, would make it a Class C felony. 44 to 182-month prison sentence for someone who performs the procedure in North Carolina and for a parent, guardian, or another person who consents to that procedure. If this is passed, becomes effective December 1st. This would give time to notify people and educate people. Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest and a public supporter of this bill, I look forward to working with House leadership to move this legislation swiftly through the process of becoming law. I think I've explained what this practice is, how it is often done. I do not want to belabor this anymore, but I'm very thankful. The foresight of the legislature in addressing this particular issue. Now let's get into some of the hard-hitting and disturbing news. I was very sad to see, yet again, we have an officer-involved shooting. In fact, protests broke out at the scene where an allegedly armed man was shot and killed during an encounter with a Charlotte-Mecklenburg police officer. The tension really centers around the question whether this guy who died, Danquers Napoleon Franklin, was armed at the time of the shooting. Police say he had a gun. Protesters very much in disagreement about this. And police are also concerned about what they're calling misinformation about this shooting. Police clarifying that the actual weapon was a gun that he refused to drop. They've also called for any witnesses to come out and speak about this. Two women called separately from the Burger King to say they saw a man with a gun. A customer came up, and he walked behind the counter to fight an employee. The first 911 caller reports this inside the restaurant. A few moments later, a voice got more urgent. He's got a gun. He's got a gun. Adding he pointed this gun at someone. The man was apparently in and out of the Burger King during the two-minute call. At one point, the caller can be heard instructing someone to lock the door. Officers arrived 4 minutes later, and they arrived, engaged the suspect, multiple commands to drop the weapon. At some point, one of the first arriving officers perceived a lethal threat and fired at least one round, striking the subject. We'd love to get your thoughts as we continue our Tuesday broadcast. You know, this year marks the 60th running of the Coca-Cola 600 race. Charlotte Motor Speedway over Memorial Day weekend tomorrow. It's just 60 days away from the race. Every hour on the hour from 8 to 5, Speedway will mark the milestone by rolling out special promotions and other announcements on social media. Follow Charlotte Motor Speedway's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram pages for all the latest from America's home for racing. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, as we mentioned before the break, and I always think it's sad, you know, whether there's a weapon involved or not, these police-involved shootings, they're very troubling. They are troubling. Let's go out to a call in Pineville with Al. Good morning.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. My time is limited, and I understand. I support the news that I heard, the horrifying moments, the troubling life issues that went on, and the first responders responded to the incident within a good matter of minutes. The officer that made her decision, I feel she was right. The protesters are ignorant. They are covering up a bad issue. And I support the officers. When I'm done with you, I'm going to call up the CMPD business and give the man in charge my support for the officer that made her decision, which I feel she was right with her training and stuff, and I support the first responders.
Okay, that's fair enough. I do appreciate your call there, Al. And you know, how many times have I talked about this before? When we have situations where, you know, it doesn't matter what the situation is, it ultimately comes down to something between people who are in a very localized problem. Localized. Unfortunately, with the advent of the news media especially, you bring all kinds of perspectives into the equation, informed or uninformed. And I'm convinced a good part of the time, it's the latter. Uninformed. And I wonder whether, you know, and this is one of the areas where Rush and his references to the drive-by media, it really comes into play here, doesn't it? I mean, think about it. Let's say you're six blocks away from this. How much do you really know happened here? If you weren't there, how do you know? And how many people are going to draw conclusions about this and make judgments about this who were not there? This is where I'm so careful, and I'm a good part of the time skeptical, especially about this theme that so many people seem to be quick to jump to, especially when there is the potential for using this as a racial issue. I would never want to presume what is in somebody's hearts, and especially not only what's in someone's heart, but is when in, what is in the heart of an entire group of people, like police. We've had people make irresponsible statements and suggest, you know, it's open season on black people, for instance. I think that's extremely unfair. But I also go back to what I said at the beginning. The whole thing is just sad. It's really sad. And sometimes I think we just need to park there rather than try to bring some sort of social justice meaning out of this or whatever else we try to do with it. Let's go out to Don in Charlotte. Good morning.
Morning, Vince. You know, it's always a sad day when we lose a life, but, you know, there's not a police officer ever gets up in the morning with intentions of having to use his weapon. I understand that. And I support him 100% because I've lived here all my life. I'll soon be 62 years old. I've lived through a lot of police shootings where the officers died. And it, to be honest with you, it's always broke my heart when that stuff goes on. But here lately, it seems like, you know, with some of the city council members that we have now, and even before one of them was a city council member, he's just a race baiter. He jumps in and tries to stir up trouble. And then when you talk to him, he's all about, no, I'm trying to keep from stirring up trouble, but he doesn't. I mean, he had no business out there to start with. He's representing the city of Charlotte. All the people, not just a little group that wants to protest the police.
I understand where you're coming from, and it's pretty unfortunate sometimes the signals that get sent by some of these things. Don, thank you very much for your call. Let's go out to Mary. Good morning.
Hello. Vince?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I am very upset when any life is taken, because to me, life is precious.
Yes.
But number one, I would like those individuals who protest to put themselves inside that Burger King with a man brandishing a gun and just see how well they're going to protest and stick up for his actions instead of being thankful to God that we had a police officer who arrived in time to stop him from creating carnage.
That's something to consider. And we don't know all the circumstances, but again, I would assume this is something that would protect everybody involved, and it doesn't matter what race of the people that are there. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. You know, it's about time we became colorblind in this country. All of us.
Good luck with that. I understand where you're coming from, Mary, and you know, I certainly share some of the sentiment of what you expressed here. And this kind of concerns me, too. Over on the text line, the new civil/race war. And I don't like mentioning other hosts on this program, but the texter makes reference to other hosts on 106.3 WRD. The fact that they talk about this civil race war frequently. And this person would like to know whether I would be on the same side as the other talk show hosts. I hope that's a joke. I really do. If that's the conversation that we're having right now, we're in trouble. We really are. Any case, why is it every time a police shooting like this occurs, that's when politicians, protesters, media want to act like they're so concerned, yet numerous blacks die at the hands of other blacks on a regular basis? As a black man myself, I am tired that narrative that we're under assault by police. Thank you. You're not alone in that. I have the same perspective. Greg out of Greer, the pawns of the drive-by media, the drive-by consumers of the drivel, because they'll never dig for truth. See, and this is, you know, I hate to be cynical about this with the news media, but this is a just add water news story. It really is. You don't have to do any investigative journalism. All you have to do is go out there and cover the carnage and the controversy. It always saddens me. And I assume this is something Charles is throwing out here. How about giving 24 hours to learn the details before making any determination, including gathering or protesting? You know, there's a real wisdom in that. Because isn't this where we get into trouble so many times? We jump to conclusions based on what? Our emotions and sometimes our preconceived ideas. Truth is the first casualty of war. This is more true of the race war than all others. Yeah. We've got some other texts that we will get to on this subject and your perspective, much more, and we will talk about the Mueller report. Stay with us. Welder friend here on the text line, a gun is a tool, no more nor less. The man that's behind a gun has the ill intent to do harm. Race doesn't matter. If presenting a clear and possible threat to myself or my family, there is no race, color, or creed. We will stand and defend our ground. Ah. When the police get a call with a man with a gun, the police should tell them to kiss their rear end and let them handle it on their own. I understand what you're saying, because you got to ask the question, what are the police there for? They're there to serve, protect, and serve, right? Isn't that the agenda? And I'm convinced there are a lot of people out there who have turned the police into enemies. And if you really feel that way, why don't you just put a sign, put a big sign in front of your neighborhood, in front of your house, a no police zone. You call 911, we'll just leave you alone. Seriously. If that's how you really feel. And it's really sad, again, that so often the police are broad brushed in this way. I wouldn't want to do it. I really would not want to do it for that reason alone. You're always going to be second guessed by people who have no freaking idea. None whatsoever. Tim, good morning.
Hello, Vince.
Yes, sir.
did latte get out again yesterday?
So you're the one who does this, these latte texts.
I let the dog out, didn't I?
She's safely at home.
All right. This is, I'm going to withhold any type of my judgment or what my opinion is on that shooting because it is, and Charles is right, it's far too soon. And this is something you hear from different media people that they won't weigh in on a subject until 72 hours or all the facts come out. But this is the thing. This Braxton Winston guy, he's like Batman. The guy was there at that first shooting. That's how he got his name out there and got onto the council. And then he was there when somebody was hit, remember uptown not that long ago, hit on one of them scooters. And all of a sudden he was there. He had it on his, he filmed it, and he had all the information. And now he's at, unless he was getting a burger and fries, how did he just show up there all of a sudden? Is he on a police scanner or, you know, it seems like he would be harming the investigation or inciting a problem.
Well, I think this is part of a new generation. I think you have to understand this. I appreciate your call there, Tim. This is part of a new generation of people coming along who have a totally different mindset about all of this. Because I think the parents and grandparents, I mean, certainly I think of my parents did not raise me to think like this, that the police are the enemy and they're out to get people. I mean, this is so foreign from anything I've ever experienced. It really is. And I know there are people, well, you just don't know what it's like. It reminds me of a conversation I actually had with someone last night. And I reacted very sharply to this friend of mine, who is Hispanic, by the way, because we were discussing it, started off with the typical Trump discussion, the idea that racists helped to put him in office. And I just cannot think in those terms. I really can't and don't. It's not the way I think. But one thing I reject is the idea that I as a black man and we as a people are eternal victims. That's the paradigm by which so many people still approach this thing. That we came to the country as slaves and we are seeing different manifestations of slavery in social society. This is the way, this is the basic narrative that so many people are being taught. And that is what really ticks me off. It's the fact that we have young people who are being taught this. They're being taught. Let's go out to Daniel. Daniel's a former officer. What are your thoughts, sir? Doing well, sir.
I have 23 years in, and 12 of those served on a SWAT team, but I was on patrol most of my time. Young officers are, and I was an instructor too, young officers are trained, you draw your weapon, you point it at your target, center mass, not head, not anywhere like that, and the most common drill is you pull the trigger twice, and that's what they're taught at the academy, and that's, until you get into higher training, that's what you learn, is point, pull the trigger twice. And the other thing that I remember, I taught cultural diversity. It was one of the classes I taught. And, one of the things that we did was, if you're standing on an assembly line and 9 out of 10 or more of the blocks that come down to the assembly line are square and you put them in the square hole, when the round one comes down, you can't make that mistake and try and shove it in the square hole. The point was that people, it doesn't matter if in your experience you deal with one race or ethnicity more than another one, maybe because of the district you work or just the type of calls that you go on, you have to treat each situation and each person individually. And the hard part when it comes to these shootings is that you and I, and me now being retired, we are sitting back on, although it's not Monday, Monday morning, and able to look at what went on, just like with the Duke, the ball game, at the last minute. People all the day after that game said, oh, if he had done this and if he had done that. And my dad used to say, if a bullfrog had wings, he wouldn't bust his tail. You can't, you can't dwell on if. But
right.
We have that, I don't want to say privileged by that, but we have the, we can sit there and look at it like that, where with the officer, when you draw your weapon, you perceive a threat. You don't just draw it for the fun of it. I can't count on both hands and feet in a career how many times I drew my weapon. Now, the pulling of the trigger is a different thing, but, you know, you may have it out because you perceive a threat. And honestly, sincerely, from someone who's looked from behind the sights at a suspect that was armed, at that point, my focus is on his movements, his hands, his movements with that weapon, not his color, not his religion, not anything else, but that weapon.
I hear
because
you.
The goal at the end of the day is that, you know, he goes to jail if he's committed a crime, and I have a family. I want to go home. I want to protect you, your neighbors, my neighbors, our community, do my job, and go home. And, you know, when someone comes out like that, I didn't go looking for him. You know,
yep.
I got a call from dispatch.
I hear you, Daniel. We're up against a hard break here, and let me just say thank you. Above everything else, thank you for your service and thank you for your heart. And I'm convinced 99.999% of police officers are just like you. No doubt about that at all. Vince, I have three young children. When we see a police officer, we always go up and say, thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you. Very good thing to do. Very good thing to do. Coming up, we will delve into the Mueller investigation and the reaction. Stay with us. Do you happen to miss any of our fine programming here on WBT? Well, you can go to WBT.com/shows and you can catch up on everything that's going on. It's very simple. Listen to WBT anytime, anywhere on the radio.com app. Back to the Vince Coakley radio program. We've been talking about the officer-involved shooting. We'll take a couple of quick calls on that and then start into our conversation about what is going on with the Mueller investigation. Also coming up, you're going to hear, I think this is pretty amazing, kind of a contradiction. Something we've learned about a South Carolina senator and some of his comments. That much more as we continue. Let's first go to Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Well, good morning, sir. I just want to comment. I think most of this started this police questioning thing, at least in my opinion, and from way back when the police officer shot, was it Lamont Scott, the guy who was a college student who had wrecked his car, and he was running to get help, and he was beating on doors, and some police came that night and basically shot him down, to me, in my opinion, needlessly. And not only shot him, but shot him like seven times. Was that when that happened?
I don't remember the name and that all of the circumstance, but I think I vaguely remember the story that you're talking about.
Well, the reason why I'm saying that is because now I'm a supporter of the police, but you can have bad apples in there just like you can have, you know, you got good apples. And I ran into some bad apples one day. I went to it was a Hispanic rally. There was a congressman, I think it was Gutierrez, was coming to a church in Charlotte, and he was going to give about the position for immigrants. And I like to learn information firsthand. So I went, and I had a little pad in my hand, and I was pretty much the only white person there. Everybody else, except for the police, everybody else there was Hispanic. And so I go there with my little pad, don't say anything to anybody. They immediately take me and put me in this area, pretty close to the stage. and they said something to me in Spanish, and I'm not a fluent Spanish speaker, so I didn't know what he's talking about. And I just tried to be as pleasant as I could be. Well, anyway, it turns out they thought I was with the press. Well, then they came, sent somebody over to ask me if I was with the press who spoke English, and I said no. They said, well, you need to not sit here. You need to sit somewhere else. So I went and sat somewhere else. And, oh, let me say, before I came in and I just kind of went around because I came in early, and I met some police who were kind of in one corner of one of the hallways of the church. I guess they were guarding a flank, so to speak. And I have a flashlight. It's about 4 inches long. And they asked to see if I could see what that was. I said, sure. I offered them to see it and take a look at it. And they said, no, just, you know, I guess they wanted to make sure I was one of them.
They wanted to make sure it's not a weapon, I'm sure. Yeah, can you get to kind of the point of this story? Because we've got a limited amount of time here, sir.
I got severely harassed by police, certain black police officers who ran me out of the meeting. Not only did they run me out of the meeting, they followed me to my car. Not only did they follow me to my car, they also made sure they followed me as I drove out. They followed me, and I slowed down to 10 miles an hour because I wanted to find out who the heck was following me. And they slowed down too, so I couldn't get them.
Well, I've got to ask you here, because we've got to move along here, Joe. Did you file any sort of complaint with the police department about this? Talk to any supervisors about this behavior?
Well, I started to.
Yeah, I've got to run here, but that's something that you definitely should do. Let me say something, because I think this is really important. If you have a legitimate concern or grievance, you need to follow it up. This happened to a relative. I had a relative who was pulled over years ago, and by all descriptions, it was profoundly unjust. And ultimately, after a couple of meetings, they let it go. I don't think they should have. If you are concerned about injustice, you fight that particular issue. Because you may be a person who's representing others who are having the same problem. And if everybody just drops it, what ends up happening is people end up accumulating offenses. And all that does is it causes more problems for all of us. Denise, out of Columbia, have about a minute or so here.
Hey, Vince. Senator Tim Scott is probably one of the ones who put this on the map, being the only black senator in the United States and a good, solid Republican. When he went to the well of the Senate and made an impassioned speech talking about, and the transcript is available to Google, but he said, you know, where you have your children thanking the police, he thanked God that he had not yet been bodily harmed by the police, and went on to say, I felt anger, frustration, and sadness and humiliation that comes with feeling like you're being targeted for nothing more than being yourself. He did a lot to advance this notion that there's not just one or two bad apples out there, because he went through his whole a litany of the times he had been stopped for nothing more than being in the wrong neighborhood wearing the wrong color of skin. So we can thank, I think, Tim Scott in part for helping advance this notion, and Trey Gowdy for signing on with him to it. So, anyway.
Okay. I appreciate your call there, Denise. And, you know, and I have a great deal of respect for Tim Scott. I remember listening to that speech. And let me add something else that I think is important. We need to honor everybody's perspective. Tim Scott's probably had different experiences than I have. There are other people who have had different experiences than I have. I am not going to universally expect everyone has the same experience, but I don't want to project what I've experienced onto everyone else either. Coming up, we'll talk about the Mueller Report, hour number two. Stay with us.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.